The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. It's another warm day, but a little overcast. As a matter of fact, maybe a sprinkle or two in the area as I'm actually on The Drive. Got a little tied up in Opelika, but on the way in right now. But, you know, the show must go on, as they say, and it definitely will. Bill on his way into the studio. And I know that Coach Don Dunn is in. Don, how you doing today?
Doing great, Bill. Thank you.
And is Jason in the studio?
He's walking in right now. He's just getting
good
out of
deal.
His car.
Well, I knew he was going to be joining us, and so we will all be together there in just a few minutes in the studio on this Wednesday edition of The Drive. Sun trying to pop out a little bit. It's been sort of overcast most of the day, but boy, another warm one. It is crazy, this weather we're having for the middle of November.
Yeah, it's unusually warm, a little cloudy, like you said, but hopefully it'll stay this nice through. I'd like to see it stay this way all the way through the Iron Bowl. I don't know if we'll be that lucky or not.
I tell you what, I've looked at the forecast. You know, initially it was there was talk about a big change, and there still talks about change coming. There's some cold weather that's headed this way, but I don't know if it's, you know, maybe it'll hold off, because now the last thing I saw was the forecast through Thanksgiving, maybe a chance of rain on Wednesday, but still not cold by any means. I think it's still supposed to at least be in the mid to upper 60s on Thanksgiving, so hopefully it'll hold off for the Iron Bowl a week from Saturday night, because that being a night game, yeah, it could if cold weather does come through, that could be another ice bowl. I remember a couple of those, Don. You remember one in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, for sure. I think it was 9-0, the score. Sleet, wind, damp, cold, but what a great victory.
Oh, absolutely. We'll talk more about the Iron Bowl next week. Auburn's got to take care of business against the Mercer Bears this week, and we'll talk with Jason about that. And basketball as well. Auburn basketball back in action tonight with what is appears to be one of the few breathers that Auburn's going to have for quite a while. Jackson State coming in winless on the season, and they give up a lot of points. It'll be interesting to see how Auburn responds after that loss in Birmingham to Houston, and without the services of Keyshawn Hall, who has been a just double-double machine since he started his Auburn career.
Yeah, no, it's going to be good. I think it's probably good for this team to – I think you need to see a little bit more of a Mecko Porum. You need to see more of Jovich, and I think this is a game to get Bashir in there to see if you can get him kind of going a little bit too. You should have some opportunities to do that. And you're right. That's very different than Saturday. Saturday, you're playing a team that, while they're FCS, is much better than Ball State, and probably at this point, probably better than South Alabama too. So you're going to have to go do some things in this game to go out. The question is, what does Mercer do? Because they've got playoffs coming. You'd love to win this game, but do you go and say, hey, look, we're going to go beat our brains in for a game that in the end doesn't matter for us because we're trying to win a national championship at another level? It's hard. It's hard to get to Saturday and go, hey, we got a shot to win, but we're pulling you out of the game. So what does Mercer do? How much do they cut it loose? That's a question going into this one as well.
That's a really good point, Jason. I mean, this would – sure, they'd love to, nothing more than to come in and knock off an SEC team, but their main focus has got to be on their postseason, and it'll be really interesting to see. You know, they'll come in really hyped up. I think a lot of Auburn fans are interested because they know they're going to get a chance to see Deuce Knight, who we've only seen very, very briefly this year, whether he starts or comes off the bench. I fully expect we're going to see both Deuce Knight and Jackson Arnold Saturday.
Yeah, it feels like we're at least going to see Deuce. Even though, you know, we saw DJ Durkin say, well, hey, we'll see both of those guys. I wonder if you know, Deuce starts. We saw a little bit of yesterday, and we only get to see a glimpse of about an hour of a week's worth of practice. But Deuce sure looked like he was the guy that was getting more of those number one reps. And I was driving over here, and I was listening to them talking about Shedeur Sanders getting the start for the Browns. And it's very much similar to Deuce because Shedeur had to go in and play last week, and I heard people that you would think would know better complaining that, you know, he didn't get any first-team reps. Well, no, because he's a 13 quarterback. It just doesn't happen. Once you get out of camp, it's the same thing for Deuce going into to what we saw him early in the season against Ball State. Had we had to see him one of the last 3 or 4 weeks, he would have been a guy that you would have done very minimal things with, Don, because you just – your third quarterback just doesn't get a ton of reps.
Right. It's tough to throw him in there like that. So it'll be interesting.
And now you get a bye week.
Yes, a little more time.
And you get a week of practice to where you can go, okay, now what do you like?
Right.
What do you want to do with these certain things in this this offense? You can tailor some things to Deuce now that you would not have been able to do in any of the weeks leading up to this one.
Right.
And so now you can give him some time in practice to work on things that you want to do in a game, which should help him tremendously come Saturday.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I would think that the open date as well gave him time to think those things out. And, yeah, you're right, Jason. I mean, could be a situation if Deuce gets out there and things go well, let him keep playing.
Yeah, no, I agree. I I've said for – a couple of weeks, especially after the Vandy game, you saw, okay, now Ashton Daniels is a guy that you look at and go, look, that's a guy you feel like you can win with. Red shirt, yes, I think that's probably where it was headed, and now we find out it is. To me, it just makes total sense that if you're Auburn, you need to see what Deuce Knight can do.
Oh, yeah.
I heard somebody saying, you know, man, I don't know if I want to showcase him for any other teams. Well, other teams aren't going to just go, hey, we're going to pay this guy $8 million because he played well against Mercer. But you've got to know what you've got.
Absolutely.
And you think you know what you've got, but you got to go see him turn it loose in a game and go do all these things. Really interesting part of this week. To me, the most interesting part of this is to see what Deuce can do on the field. And obviously off the field, there's a whole lot of interesting things going on as well. So,
The coaching carousel continues. Today's news, I guess, is that John Sumrall gonna talk with Florida tomorrow. Did I miss something in the last hour and a half?
Yeah, you missed something in the last 20 minutes.
Oh, man, all right.
So apparently – an hour ago, he's going to interview at Florida.
Right, I heard that as I was going
30 minutes ago, it said, well, he's not interviewing with Florida. He's apparently removed his name from the job.
From the Florida job.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's how these things go.
Yeah, they do. They can turn on a dime.
Here's the thing about it. For people that have followed these things enough to know that everything that's done now and everything that gets out now, for the most part now, there's some things.
Oh,
for the most part, is agent driven. If you hear it from the coaching side of things, there's a reason why they would want to get news out.
Yes.
Just the one I don't understand is, I guess I do because that's who he is.
Yeah.
To put your family on a plane and send them around it's not done. People don't do that.
It's been done that I've ever heard of.
To do that is just the most grandstanding thing I've ever seen.
And it's going to be. I mean, it's something that sure can be very enjoyable right now, but it's gonna really. I mean, not that they're bridges that he has, but it's it's going to hurt any future relationships
he
could have with
a lot
of people.
I've said all along I didn't think he was leaving. I still don't think he's leaving.
I'm still thinking that's probably
it. I think this is 100% to go.
He's trolling the crap out of him.
I think it's more of, hey, look, they wanted me really bad, and I'm staying at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
Look what that means. I think this is another way to do that. Go, look, hey, look, they did everything they could. Even flew my family in, and I didn't leave. I'm here. To me, it just feels like it. I mean, if you'll tweet at another coach during the season and tweet at other people during the season, you'll do that.
Yep.
And so it felt like it's all a ploy. Maybe I'll be wrong. But your whole thought process in taking a job is because you think you can go win a national championship.
Right.
They're fixed to be in the playoffs.
They're number six right now in the playoff rankings. They've got Mississippi State,
that's
got the Egg Bowl left.
That's it. And so you look and you go, you're going to be in the playoffs, even if they have a loss. They're going to be in that group. But you look and go, that's your whole thought process is to go somewhere to try to win a national championship. They're either going to have a bye or home game.
There's a very good chance they've got a home game.
Very good chance they're going to be in week two, which means you're playing on December 31st or January 1st.
And the portal opens
January 2nd.
Well, 2 days after that 31st.
Correct.
That next day.
And hey, they could win. You never know. I don't know. It's crazy. But, obviously we can get a little deeper into the Auburn stuff. But John Summerall's a name that's been on Auburn's list for a while. What does that mean? Hey, they're in the playoffs as of last night.
Yeah. Right now they're last night they were the 12 seed.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that will be ironed out as we sit here, and my guess we're probably 9 days, 10 days away from probably starting to really feel like this thing's coming to a head.
No question. All right, Jason Caldwell in the studio. I've made it in now. Coach Don Dunn, Drew at the controls. We'll get to our first break. We'd love for you to join us. We'll open up the phone lines, the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Auburn IT delivers professional
online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in. Anything on your mind sports-wise, and we jumped into a little of the coaching crazies. Jason, it is so much different, but it almost has to be now because of the calendar that you have. And I've heard some people say, well, the best solution to this would let's get away from this early signing period and go back to February.
Yeah, it sounds great. But these kids want to get in school.
That's exactly the first thing I said was, what are you going to do to all the kids that want to graduate
and want to get started for the
winter term?
They want to get started.
The majority of them do.
Absolutely they do. So that's not going away. It's just the unfortunate part. Hey, everything's different. It is what it is. My thing is, and I've said it all along, and I hate it, but I've said it, if I'm involved in a coaching search right now, the last thing on my mind is early signing period.
I hate it. You're right.
I hate it for the kids.
I mean, the most important thing is your long-term future. And, yes, signing day can affect your long-term future, but not as much as making the right choice as head coach.
No, right now, if you're hiring a coach, the most important thing is current roster retention, and transfer portal.
Right.
Those are the most important things you can do in year one. That's it.
Especially in Auburn's case. Now, if you have a case where the roster was in the shape that maybe Auburn's was 3 years ago, that wouldn't be as critical.
Yeah. But you're still –
you still want to keep
some. Because here's my thing.
You don't want to have a completely brand new roster.
No, but you also – signing a bunch of high school kids, by the time they get there, you may be fired again.
Right.
That's my point, is that, like, if I'm taking a job too, I'm going, look, how can I win the most in year one and year two? Because if you don't do that – then you're in trouble. because that's just the world we live in right now. You got 12 playoff teams. That's still only a small portion of the teams that play college football, but everybody in this league thinks you ought to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. Well, there's 16 teams in this league. There's only 12 spots. And if you don't make it, people are going, got to go get the next guy. You know, make the playoffs. I am not – again, how do you get there the quickest? If I have Cam Coleman, I'm signing that guy. But if developmental high school guys in year one, I am – for me, I'm going – no, I'll get a developmental college guy that's 22 years old.
You need as much immediate
absolutely
help as you can get.
That's it. And so that to me, but from an Auburn perspective right now, roster retention, the young
yes
guys you have on this roster, keeping those guys, and then pieces, what you're doing in the portal, all those things to me are what you do, because whoever takes this job, this is a job that you will have a chance to make a huge impact in year one if you can do the right things and make the right pieces fit and keep the right folks around.
Yeah, and again, the new head coach will have 5 days before players can start entering the transfer portal. Well, it depends on when it is.
Yeah.
I mean, if you name the new head coach somewhere around when the portal is going to open. But anyway, they won't have more than 5 days. Let's put it that way. A new head coach won't have more than 5 days to try to convince players to stay. I wanted to get your thoughts because I've talked to some people and I have an opinion on this. I mean, look, there's no question DJ Durkin has done an outstanding job as defensive coordinator at Auburn, and his players are really, I mean, I think his players are very loyal to him. But I wonder, Jason, your thoughts on the some of the comments that folks have that, well, the only way that Auburn can retain players is for DJ Durkin to be back.
No, I mean, I
hope he's back.
Yeah, correct. I think that's
one capacity.
I think
another.
That's what most folks around Auburn would hope too, that if he's not the head coach, you're going to do everything in your power to see if he can be retained by
right
the new
see
coach as
fit
Auburn defense coordinator. You're going to lose some players if he's the head coach. You're going to lose some players if he's not the head coach. You're going to keep a bunch of guys no matter what, in my opinion. It may impact you a little bit more. I don't think the thought that it's going to be a wholesale, just everybody's just going to be
gone. And
that's
funny because, I mean, I hear that from some people.
I just don't think that's
going to
be the case.
If DJ's not around, it's a whole new roster. And it's like, well, I think the infrastructure that Auburn has, the financial situation that Auburn has right now will allow them to be able to compete with anybody as far as keeping players.
Yeah, no, I think you're gonna have a great opportunity to hold on to most of these guys no matter who the coach is. And that's the whole goal. Because I don't think Will Redmond's going anywhere. I don't think Kenyatta Watson's going anywhere. I don't think
the
folks in the GM roles who had a big – I mean, hey,
oh,
those
no
people
question
are really involved in this. I don't think that – and that's the thing. Those people, hey, they got a great relationship with them. Hey, just give it a chance. You're good. There's no need to rush into this. You're right, though. It's a business. And you go like, hey, I was thinking about a guy like Cam Coleman. You go, Cam Coleman's family's close by. Cam Coleman could go somewhere else. It's not going to improve his draft stock. He's going to be our draft pick no matter where
you're
he
right
is.
Right about that.
Play close to home. I'm like, DeMarcus Riddick, I think a guy that loves Auburn, that's the thing. To me, you'd be much more concerned if you'd had a bunch of guys who were going, oh, man, no question, they like DJ Durkin. I think he's had a big part in this.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he's the only reason why guys are continuing to play hard. I think they're continuing to play hard because they like being at Auburn. I think that's a big part of things too, and I think that'll have an impact.
Was it your interview with John Cohen where he pretty much sort of said that talking to a couple of the more prominent players on the team?
Yeah, and just said they want to be coached hard. That was one of the things he talked about, and I think you've heard him say edge several times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you look at the names of them, obviously you think about you think defense, but I mean, I know Eli Drinkwitz, Don, you know him. He's an offensive guy, but he's got an edge. And so I think no matter what, I think it's going to be somebody that's going to go, hey, look, you're going to play physical. You're going to do the things. I think you're looking for what Auburn was built on to be a head coach, and you can do that in some different ways. But obviously, if you could keep DJ Durkin as defensive coordinator, if he's not the head coach, then that would be a win-win-win situation, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree. So we'll see. Let me ask you, as you mentioned, I mean, last night we see Tulane right now popping up as the group of five representative and in the 12 spot. You know, we've talked about Lane Kiffin's name being out there with multiple other schools while his team is very much in the playoffs. How do you think it would affect a school that is pursuing John Sumrall? And how do you think? This is pure speculation, but wonder if any coach, you know, if it would work for both sides for that coach to announce that he's leaving and still coach in the playoffs, or would it be more likely that a coach would stay? It seems like it'd be crazy to step aside when you've got a team in the playoffs.
I think if you're hiring a coach at Tulane and he's in the playoffs, in my opinion, he can't coach the playoffs. Just my opinion.
I think it's so much different. Because I heard some, well, you know, you saw it happen with Sark and with Lane. No, they were assistants. They were coordinators. And that's different.
You got to run your entire program. You got a lot of things that you have to do. You got a lot of roster tension. The other part for me is you can't let that guy lose 40-10.
Oh, that's right. I hadn't thought about that.
Because, I mean, right now, the 12 seed would be scheduled to go play at Texas Tech in week one. We saw last year, like, if you had hired Rhett before they go to Penn State last year and they get beat, whatever it was, 34-8 or 40, whatever, all of a sudden your fan base is going, hired the wrong guy.
Right.
From me, I think it's different as a head coach to go, hey, look, I understand it, and it's going to be difficult to do, but it would be really hard for me to let him. You got too much to do. We're paying you too much money. We got to get this thing rolling on our end. I hate it.
It's different if you're a Power Four school.
I think it's very different. I think it really is.
What do you think, Doug?
I agree with you 100%. As hard as it would be to leave, you got to go. You got to get in that door, get going. Like Jason said, you can't waste a second when you take over. You got to hit the ground running. And the main thing is, like Jason and you both said, Bill, you got to take care of our players here now. That's the number one thing. But yeah.
You can't be getting a team ready for a playoff game
and while you're trying to spend time,
you know, in Auburn or wherever.
Yeah, you gotta say, hey, thank you, good luck, and go.
Yeah, so it's. I mean, it's likely,
and it's hard.
It's not unlikely that something like that could happen. So we'll see. So, yeah, I mean, I think Jason around Thanksgiving. If things are going to happen immediately after the Iron Bowl around Thanksgiving, there'll be some more rumbles and some folks that are no longer in the picture.
Yeah, you'll hear folks going, hey, I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
They'll be a lot more sure.
I don't want to be considered anymore.
Well, they'll be a lot more sure about where they're staying. Yeah. This is about as secretive a thing as there can be, and there's still no secrets.
Oh yeah, well the one thing that is so much different though is it's obvious and nobody's hiding the fact that they're talking now. I mean, used to be it would be representatives of representatives, people who knew people were talking.
Well,
supposedly,
there's still no. You still don't have Auburn or Tulane saying that we're talking.
Right,
but. You know where things are going. So, yes, like that's the – there are talks going on. Nobody would ever confirm it on either end, but you know what's happening with the guy. We feel pretty sure that it's three or four guys that they really focused on. Does that mean it would not be somebody else? Absolutely not. Because if you don't learn anything in a coaching search, you go you never say this is 100% guaranteed who is going to be or who it's not going to be.
No, a lot of times, I mean, the morning of, you think you know who it is and things don't work out. But, I mean, I'm trying to recall, I mean, we weren't following Mississippi State that closely, but was there a lot of talk about Mike Leach before he was hired by John Cohen?
No, there wasn't a whole lot.
And that was kind of out of the blue.
Yeah, and so
out of left field.
There's some interesting ones in that regard. Again, Would I be surprised if that was the case? Yes. Would I be shocked if that was the case? No. I mean, like I said, nothing would shock me. But I would be surprised, yes, that if it was somebody kind of out of the blue.
All right, we will get to our bottom of the hour break. Again, love for you to join in if you want to talk a little football as the Tigers coming off the open date have Mercer this weekend, a little coaching search, but basketball. Want to talk some more basketball as the Tigers get ready to take on Jackson State. A late night game tonight, an 8 o'clock tip tonight for the Tigers against Jackson State. We'll talk that and more when we return here on the Wednesday Drive.
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Getting hungry listening to Don.
Yeah.
Don's getting prepared for tonight.
I had to take a call. We got, I don't know what's going on, but we're just selling the heck out of turkey.
Well, you know, it's about that time. It doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it may not feel like Thanksgiving, but I mean.
Yeah. But I knew next week would be busy, but my goodness, with the Iron Bowl and Thanksgiving, wow.
Getting started early.
Yeah, no kidding. And again, I'm hungry now.
I know, me too.
Oh, man. Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover alongside Bill and Don here with Drew at the controls. We'd love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. We talked a little bit about the Auburn-Mercer matchup. We can get back into that and some other things a little bit. Want to talk some more basketball, though, Jason. I mean, Saturday, I know Stephen Pearl, isn't going to be happy. And said as much in the post game and after the game on Saturday. But I thought very impressive performance by the Tigers in their first big test, after pretty much putting together a brand new roster to join Tahad Pettiford.
Yeah, the competition level defensively, staying in there, fighting with a team like that.
Well, you got down 7, maybe 8, but I mean 6 or 7 multiple times and looking like Houston had a chance to perhaps pull away.
Yeah, just playing these games in basketball. Now, you know, can you find a way to win a couple of these down the road? As you get ready for SEC play, that'd be big. You need to win, win a couple of them. But listen, we talked about this before. Like, Alabama, when they made the Final Four a few years ago, I think they were like 2-4, 2-5, and they played a bunch of these games just like this, but it makes you so much better. Look, we saw the difference in Keyshawn Murphy. We're having him on the court, how much difference it makes.
He's so much better offensively than I remember.
Yeah, no, because I probably have known him since he was in the 10th grade, probably.
Was he another guy that just sort of outgrew being a ball handler?
No,
or something?
He was actually always a big ball handler, but he just kept growing physically. So he's got the skills. He was a big guard at Ramsey when he was in 10th grade. He's probably 6'7" then.
Okay.
He's probably 6'7", 185 as a 10th grader, but he's playing guard. Just continued to – so you get to Mississippi State and you gain weight and you get stronger. So I think he – really last year was the first year where I think he probably felt like he was a big. But he always has that skill set. And last year they didn't really get to do that very much. He didn't shoot it very well. No. And I think that's one of the reasons why I came to Auburn. Because, look, I want to go play in that style. And I think if he can stay healthy and stay on the court, it's going to be a big difference maker for this team. But, Keyshawn Hall is a guy that can just score. Won't play tonight. That ankle. We'll see how long it takes him to get going.
You just don't know.
I think you just go, hey, look, see if you can get him by the time you get to Vegas next week and get back on the court and do those things. But, yeah, no need to play him tonight.
No, not
like
at
I
all.
Said, I think, can you – can you figure out a little bit more, maybe some of the other offensive weapons for this team? Because he can score. You got some other guys, and obviously, you look at just some of the pieces for this team, and they continue to grow, continue to mature.
You see some of the flashes, from, Elijah Freeman. My goodness.
He has NBA ability.
Yes.
When you look at his stuff. And then I think Sebastian Williams-Adams, he just going to continue to get better. I'd like to see him tonight get 12 shots.
Well, I mean, Steven said, he's starting there in that spot.
Yeah, I'd like to see him get the touches on offense to take the ball to the basket, get to the paint, do those things. I think he's a guy that could be 18-10 as he continues to move forward and do some of these things too. So lots of things to look at. I think, you know, Magwood's a guy that's going to continue to get mm-hmm. some touches there, Cade Magwood. And Tahad, you know, made his first couple of shots, and then it just still, again, I thought there were some forces at times. And he's got to settle in a little bit, but he's a guy that's going to continue to compete and do the things he's done.
Yeah, he hasn't let that really affect his play.
That's something
I worried about.
No, and that's the thing. I think you can look at this team and go, look, it hasn't been perfect, but you go and you go like, man, you won three games, had a struggle to begin with, and then you play toe to toe with Houston. You have a chance, obviously, to win tonight, and then you get a chance to step up in competition again. Obviously, Oregon is solid, not great team, and then Michigan is as big a team as you'll face all season long. They're huge, so you go, okay, you're fixing to get challenged again in a much different way. They're not the physicality of Houston in terms of the guards and the perimeter stuff, mm-hmm. but from a size perspective, Axel Lindenberg, you face him next week,
sure.
is UAB transfer. That's a preseason first team All-American. They got a 7'2 center. They got another 6'11. They got a bunch of 6'9s. This will be you'll have some tests coming for this team. How much can you develop now that you've seen Houston and now know what that looks like?
And, you know, up to this point, and that will be quite a challenge. There's no question about it. And you really hope Keyshawn Hall is healthy. Auburn's rebounded better than you might think up to this point. I mean, they hung in there against Houston, a very physical team, but you're right. They haven't gone against teams where they're really, really as outsized as they're going to be here coming up. And you mentioned a little while ago, Mecca Purim is a guy we didn't see in the Houston game, but you know, he's a guy that I think Auburn's going to need. They're going to need him to be able to step in and give them some help there as a rim protector and just giving some breathers for Keyshawn Murphy.
Yeah, and I think the length is one thing you look at from him. Can you go find somebody that can protect a rim? His ball skills are pretty good.
Yeah, they're not bad.
And, you know, physicality, that's going to be a struggle a little bit, but you can overcome that sometimes with length, because, I remember, like, Dikembe Mutombo wasn't – physical guy when he first started.
No.
He became that guy. And so I think there's some things you can do with him. So I like to see him as continue to develop, because I think by SEC play, they're going to need him to be a part of this rotation. They're going to need that size eventually in this league behind Keyshawn Murphy to be able to play a role. So I think you just need to continue to work him, develop him, and get him out there and get going.
And then Phillip struggled a little the other night against Houston, but I mean, that's understandable when you're making the transition from European ball to the U.S. And then you're going up against a team like Houston who, I mean, they are one of the more physical teams you're going to see.
Yeah, no, that's is probably, you start going, hey, what would you like to see early in the basketball season? That's probably it. To go, look, you go see that early.
Mm-hmm.
Because that has a bigger impact on you than anything, because of the way they play defense. Because you look at them, the young guys they have, the guard play, that's a Houston team. I'll be really surprised if they're not once again deep into the postseason by the time we get down to the end of the year. So, great challenge. Obviously, you start talking about them and go, look, you know, they found a way to win it, and it was their defense at the end of the game that kept Auburn from, you know, from going ahead and winning. But I thought going into this, and I'm like, man, it's going to be difficult. It might be maybe double digits here. And Auburn just would not let it get there, and they kept fighting. So the fight for me, the competitive fire they showed, was probably the most important thing. Shots will fall. Shots won't fall. If you have that, then you're going to give yourself a chance to win most every night.
And the fact that Auburn had, what was it, 8 turnovers in the ballgame
against
Houston?
Only 2 in the second half.
That's really impressive.
Yep, just 2 turnovers in the second half against Houston. If you can avoid those mistakes and hold your own on the boards, like, again, you look up at the end of the year and this team's going to have a chance to, again, give themselves a pretty good seeding opportunity and a chance to go make a run in the NCAA tournament, and that's what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Tonight, do you think we'll see Simon Walker?
I don't know if we'll see him yet or not. He's been back out a
good
little bit.
Good to hear that he's working, that he's practicing.
Yeah, maybe at the end of the game, if you can get a couple of minutes in there just to kind of get him on the court, maybe that'd be an opportunity. Try to work him back in there. And again, defensive guy that can shoot it, but he's kind of right place, the right time guy. I think he'll be a player that's going to help him down the road.
Yeah, gives him a little length too. That Auburn's already got some. You mentioned Abdul. There's a guy Auburn really would like to get going.
Yeah, no, you got to get him get going sooner or later. Obviously, he's a guy that can really shoot it. Can he find the speed of the game and kind of get into the flow? His brother is at Kansas State, and I looked up the other day, and in two games, his brother was 9-for-17 shooting threes at K-State. He's got that ability.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of kind of finding his role and where he fits in this system. And, you know, as they keep going too, this is early in the season, no different than football. You're looking to go early in the season football, you might be, hey, we're only showing this, we're only doing this. As you develop, you add more to the repertoire. You'll do that for a guy like Bashir. You'll add more things offensively from a set perspective to kind of get him some shots and get him going.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. We'll go ahead and get to our final break of hour number one, our last segment with Jason. So if you've got any questions for him, give us a call here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, Jason Caldwell, and yeah, I just got a reminder that a week from today is the deadline for renewing baseball season tickets. And that reminder reminded me to get Jason to talk a little bit about Auburn's fall practice.
Yeah. Really, I probably had a chance, I don't know, probably a dozen days to go out there. Worked out. They practiced some in the morning, so I was able to go out and see some things. And then some Wednesday afternoons. And then last weekend, I actually went up to Plainsman Park on Saturday and turned on the TV in the 984 Club and watched baseball and had on football at the same time. And then on Sunday did the same thing. Basketball game was on. I had Auburn baseball in front of me. We had basketball, so me and Brian Matthews are both up there on Sunday.
Yeah, B-Matt was talking about how much he got to see
So we got a chance to see a lot, but just enjoy it. I mean, like, obviously, I wrote a story on him this week. The story for me was Todd Clay, Auburn High.
Clado's youngster who was a yard boy for me for a couple of years.
Yes.
Did some yard work for me. Man, he has really blossomed.
Man,
he's a
strapping
young man.
6'3", 225.
Yeah.
He was, I think, 452 was the average I had for him. 6 home runs. Led the team in doubles, led the team in RBIs in the fall. Really swung it well. And a guy that plays third base could play first base. Mm-hmm. And obviously without you know, Eddie Madrigal, the transfer signee towards ACL, so you don't have your guy that you thought was going to be your first baseman. So Todd's a possibility there. But, you know, you're looking to go your known commodities, and you go, man, what you know Chase Fraley behind the plate. You know Chris Rembert in the outfield.
And these guys are softs.
And they're sophomores, and those are your known commodities. You know, a healthy K. Ballou, the last time out, he hit two home runs over the weekend. He had a two-home run game.
That's great.
You look at those guys and Bristol Carter in the outfield, Eric Guevara in the infield as well. Bub Terrell is back, who's another sophomore. So you start like thinking about the pieces that you know. Lucas Steele had a great fall. So another one of those guys, DH role, maybe first base. So you start going, like, man, there's some pieces there to put together from a position player standpoint. And then, you know, you look at some transfers and, you know, some of the guys you brought in. Obviously, we talked about, you know, not having, you know, Madrigal, but Logan Gregorio led the team in home runs in the fall, had 8 home runs in the fall, came from Northern Illinois. Started his career as like a D3 school, and he's continued to move up. But he's 6'1", 200-pound left-handed hitter, can swing it. So he had a really good fall swinging the bat. But, you know, you look at some of these freshmen, Ethan Bingaman from California, really impressive. The things, some of the things he's done in swinging the bat. Brandon McCrane, redshirted last year. His younger brother Mason McCrane is a 6'6", 220-pound lefty.
Right.
So those guys, they're some position players, and it's going to be some battles for this team in those roles. And then you look on the mound, and you know, Jake Marciano, the Virginia Tech transfer. I think you look at him. I would say him and Griffin Graves, I would say right now, probably be the two most likely guys, I think, if I said that. You got to name a starting rotation. I would have those two guys as probably the highest percentage of being in the rotation. Griffin Graves is really good. He might be the first guy right now.
Wow.
Finished really strong last year. Had a great outing against Coastal Carolina. Ron Hetzler is a guy that's actually looked some as a starter this fall, but you got Drew Whalen, who was the Conference USA Pitcher of the Year a year ago from West Kentucky. They brought in. He's in the mix, but Christian Chatterton and Andres Alvarez, those guys in there as well.
Yeah, they've had their moments as well.
Jackson Sanders may have had the best outing out of all those second year guys. Jackson was really good, so that was a good sign for him as well.
I was going to say, well, who's it look like at the end of the game?
Yeah, that's the interesting part. Ethan Bingman's one. He's a position player, but that freshman, overhand breaking ball, kind of old school classic guy. He was pretty good, and I think a guy that they liked in that role. And you know, it's interesting that Butch went up to the players and they had a meeting and said, okay, game on the line, who do you want to get the ball? And he said it was almost overwhelming. It was Garrett Brewer, a Michigan State transfer. Huh. That's a lefty. And I started thinking about it going, Jake Marciano's a lefty. You know, you look and go, man, if you start talking about Griffin Graves, he's a lefty. If Jackson Sanders were to slide in there, he's a lefty.
Right.
And then you could have a lefty closer. And I'm like, that would be way out of the ordinary for an Auburn baseball program.
No, that's way out of the ordinary for most of them. Programs.
But, man, they're going to have some left-handed opportunities for this team. And then maybe the thing that was the most fun on the last day was watching the two big second-year guys get out there and kind of sling it a little bit. Saxon Roberts is 6'5", 216. He did get a redshirt year last year. You know, his father passed away during the season. They were able to get a redshirt year for him. Saxon's probably – you know, I think you got two guys, him and Connor Gatwood, both to hit 100 at some point this fall. But Saxon was throwing kind of they're calling it a spike, which is kind of like a knuckle curve thing. And it almost looked like Mariano Rivera there for his one inning the other day, where I'm like, can you just throw that pitch every time? When Mariano Rivera threw the same pitch every time, and nobody ever got a good swing on it. I went, maybe you can do that. And then Connor Gatwood had probably his best outing to finish up the fall, looked good too. So it was a positive for them to finish. So,
this is a talented, a really talented roster.
Yeah, and you know, you get a chance to, for them, you know, look at, you know, we're talking about basketball and see what it looks like. Well, baseball is going to have the same opportunity as well, because you go early in the season and go, and then you know, toward the end of February, play Kansas State, Florida State, and Louisville in Arlington, Texas. Mm. And so you're going to play those three teams at Globe Life Field.
Yeah, great.
Arlington, Texas.
That's a great opportunity.
It's going to be great to play. I mean, you're going to play – I mean, Florida State and Louisville especially, I would say probably both those teams are going to be odds-on favorites to be teams that make the College World Series. So you're going to have play two potential College World Series-type teams. Kansas State's been pretty solid too. So you're going to get a pretty good test right out of the gate early.
That's exciting. Looking forward to that. So again, a reminder: if you're a season ticket holder, you've only got a week to go ahead and renew your baseball season tickets. Just got a couple of minutes left here, Jason. Next week, I've got a couple of things going on. Dan's going to be in Vegas. We may just wish everybody happy Thanksgiving during the middle of the week.
I think everybody's going to be doing some crazy things. And, you know, we're sitting here, only got a couple minutes. We haven't talked about at Auburn Opelika Friday night.
Oh, no
Central
kidding.
Thompson Friday night. Two massive football games. I'm really looking forward to this. There's probably – there's probably eight high school games that I'm like, man, I'd love to go to that
wish
game.
You could be
it. I mean, Wadley-Hubbardville right up the road.
Yeah.
The 1A game is going to be great. Sarah Land comes to Pike Road Friday night, which will be a fantastic game. I mean, there's a bunch, but You got to beat Auburn. You got to beat Oklahoma like Auburn. That game Friday
night. Good luck.
Night.
Good luck.
I'm trying to think what time I'm going to get there to get in. Because I have, you know, I'm a media pass, so I'll be able to get in there.
Yeah, but you'll at least be able to get in. Because my, folks that haven't tried to get tickets, I think it's too late.
And so, you know, I may have to go park up my truck at 2 o'clock and then get somebody to drop me off somewhere over there later and try to get in. But it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Those two teams have gotten so much better from the first time they played. We'll see. You know, can Casey Myers play? Went out early. Obviously a really good quarterback, but – you know, J.D. Pate played really well for Auburn High School, Rob's son, and it's going to be a fun game Friday night, so looking forward to that. A
lot going on, Jason, that folks can keep up with there at Auburn Undercover. I mean, that sort of lends into recruiting, but, I mean, you've got the coaching search and football and basketball and baseball wrap-up. There's all kinds of things there at Auburn Undercover.
Yep, go check us out. I think right now 75% off for people who haven't subscribed before. Just bumped up to 75% off, so go check that out. Yeah, a lot of coaching stuff search. Got a football game Saturday, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see what Deuce looks like, so come check us out and on Twitter, ITATJason.
All right, Jason, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
We will step aside for our top of the hour break. Wide open in hour number two, so come on in and join us.
Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two here on the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. As the sun going down, it's about completely dark. Drew is at the controls. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover for joining us in hour number one. Got really good updates on fall baseball, talked football, Auburn getting ready for Mercer, the coaching search with Auburn. I was running a little late because I had a couple things I had to get taken care of, and I missed out. I'd seen the news earlier that John Sumrall, the Tulane coach, who has his green wave, by the way, number 12 in the in the latest playoff rankings. Earlier today, there were multiple reports that John Sumrall was going to interview or was going to be talking with Florida about their open head coaching position. And I had heard nothing different, but got in and around 3:30, between 3:30 and 4 o'clock, John Sumrall saying no, he is withdrawing his name from consideration for that Florida job.
Yeah, crazy times, like we've been saying all week or the last 3 weeks. That's what I'd heard earlier also, Bill, that he was going to talk with him. And then right when, like you said, when the show started, I guess Jason got something on his phone or computer that said he'd canceled the interview.
Yeah, so, you know, as Jason was saying, a lot of the things you hear, especially when they're from the coach's side perspective, are things that are intentionally being put out there by their agents, by their representatives.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, like you know. But, yeah, that sounds like an agent deal. Put my name here, do this, do that. I mean, that's what they're hired to do.
Oh, yeah.
And the best ones do it great, like Jimmy Sexton.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I don't doubt that John Sumrall was on the list that Scott Strickland has at the University of Florida. I mean, he's been mentioned with the LSU job. There's a lot of buzz over the last couple of days that if Lane Kiffin were to leave, that John Sumrall would be at the top of the list for Ole Miss.
Yep.
But don't think that some of that might not be his agent putting things out there as well, because, look, everybody's always out to get the best deal that they can for themselves. If you are being sought after, you don't want to undersell yourself.
No, and that kind of brings me back to the point that you and I were talking about leaving the building last night, the situation with James Franklin turning down what was it, 40 million?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, news yesterday that James Franklin and Penn State had reached a negotiated deal on his buyout, which was going to save Penn State $40 million. I mean, it went from 49 to 9 million. And look, I'm not one of those that's like, oh, I don't want to win the lottery if it's only $9 million.
Yeah,
no,
sure.
I'll be glad.
I'm not
going to
buy a ticket.
I'd take every single cent that I could get.
For sure.
I mean, sure, it'd be great to get four. But I mean, this is
that's huge.
Just the thought
amount.
Of what does I mean? What I said to you last night, I still think, what does Penn State have on James Franklin?
Who knows? I mean, I've never heard of anything
got
that
to be,
big.
Got to be something that
40
a pretty
million.
Strong negotiating point to be able to cut $40 million off your
buyout
deal.
That's I've never heard of such a thing.
No, I haven't either.
Crazy. So. That is interesting though. There's like you said, there's more to that story than we'll probably ever know.
Yeah, you're right. James Franklin, the next your new Virginia Tech coach.
Yeah,
it's really going to be interesting to see who winds up where. I mean. I tend to agree, and I think we talked about this a little yesterday with what Jason said in hour number one, that Lane Kiffin is going to stay at Ole Miss. I think it would be such a mess for him to either coach and I think worst case scenario would be just up and leave Ole Miss when they are in the playoffs for somewhere else. But, I mean, I just can't see that happening. I mean, we talked about the situation if it arises where John Sumrall, whose team right now is number 12, and Jason's thoughts, a little different than I heard an opinion earlier today saying, oh, let him coach. It'll be good PR for Auburn for him to coach. But Jason brought up a couple of great points. I mean, one of the ones that obviously you think of immediately is, man, he needs to be there taking care, trying to protect his roster, retain his roster, and add to his roster
right.
at Auburn. And it'd be a lot more difficult, I think, as the head man than, you know, where yes, we've seen coordinators. You've seen Steve Sarkisian continue to coach or
Lane Kiffin.
Lane, and one time he didn't. You
right.
know, it's like, it got to a certain
Coach
point, like, nope, go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, I need somebody who's completely focused on this. And it would be really tough to do either of those things. I mean, to try to continue to coach when your whole team knows you're leaving. And they wonder, I mean, if things don't go well, they'll wonder, did you really have your heart in it?
Exactly. And you got assistants that are up in the air too.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Jason said, what happens if they go out and they get beat handily? I mean, they're a good team. There's no question. Tulane is a good team, but Tulane is not a top five team. I
no.
mean, you go up against somebody like that, and you're liable to get beaten handily.
Yes.
And how would the fan base of the school that just hired you feel if you're supposed to be coming in and competing? Look, he won't have the same roster, but fans sometimes won't care. They'll go, wait, if you couldn't compete there, how do we think you can compete here?
Yeah, no doubt, it's a crazy situation.
Yeah,
but I agree with Jason. I think if he is the guy at Auburn, he needs to get here the same day if possible and hit the ground running.
Well, I would think Tulane also would want to go ahead and get the jump on getting
right.
their. Yeah. Getting their next guy.
Yeah. And it may be having, from within. Who
yeah,
knows?
Having somebody, you know, maybe see if their interim
right.
could handle it there in the postseason mm-hmm. and be the next coach. That's the thing. I mean, you know, I'd had some other the third thought that you heard from people is, well, Auburn would be fine waiting a couple of weeks to announce the head coach. I don't know that they would. I mean, Even if you have if you still have DJ Durkin on as your interim coach, trying to do his best to retain the roster and recruit, it's a whole lot tougher job if you don't know who the head man is.
Yeah,
there may be rumblings and everything but a guarantee that it's going to be someone. But like I said a while ago, we've seen these situations where it's a done deal, it's a done deal, it's a done deal, and then all of a sudden that day something changes, or the night before it was going to be announced, something changes. So until you've got it locked down, I just don't see where schools right now, especially the ones that have let their head coaches go with multiple games to play in the season, can wait weeks after the season ends to name the new head coach.
Yeah, I think it needs to be done. Like we've said, it's almost impossible, especially nowadays with all the different things you got to do with the portal, retaining your people. It's just get them here and let's go.
334-321-1390 is the Drive hotline sponsored by Sky Bar. Let's get to it, and Pat gets us started this hour. Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys. Hey, Bill and Coach. I think that what the comment was made, and I don't know if it was Jayboy that said it, but that whenever a coach removes their name from consideration, that's because they know they're not getting the job.
Well, it's one of two things. It's one, that they really weren't interested in the job, or two, that they're out of the running and they're not going to get the job. You know, I mean, it sort of felt to me, John Summerall hasn't been obviously a prominent name there at Florida. I've heard his name just sort of on lists, seen it on lists, but this one feels like something where his agent is wanting to remind folks, hey, I've got a hot property here that a lot of schools are interested in.
Yeah, yeah, and it makes us feel like there's another school that he was on the list for.
Right.
But I do think with Lane Kiffin, I do think that there's no way that I predicted this would happen. You know, I was telling my brother, I said, look, Ole Miss is going to do exactly what Indiana did. And before Lane goes off and goes to visit schools like LSU and Florida, you're going to get a contract in his hands and have him sign it as soon as possible. It's the smart thing to do, and they did that. And if he was wanting to stay at Ole Miss, there is a 0% chance that he would take that contract and not sign it. If he wanted to play, he would want no distractions. He would want his team focused on winning the national championship. There's just no way that he would be having this circus going on right now.
Well, except one thing, Pat, that he's got an open date right now. So this is like free play time, I think, for Lane, where he can mess around some this week as long as he gets it taken care of, you know, before before they get into serious prep for the Egg Bowl.
Yeah.
I think he's got some time to play, and why not let the University of Florida and LSU give free tours and meals and whatever to your friends and family.
Sure, but I'm saying, but realistically, is there anybody that's going to do that if they want to stay at Ole Miss and they want to win? Like, you're not gonna want that circus going on right now. I mean, think about his players. Now, to me, if I'm his players, I'm thinking, well, hell, I don't care because wherever he goes, I'm going. You know what I'm saying? So I think they're all thinking it's not a problem for his players, but I just think
not the way it used to be. No, you're right.
Yeah, exactly. So I think if he really liked staying at Ole Miss and he really wanted to, and they gave him $11 million or whatever, I think he would have signed it. I just think he would have. I think the only reason that he would not sign it and they had to put this ultimatum out there is because he was leaving. And that's just simple as that. He's leaving. And so he wants the better NIL. I mean, think about all the pressure when your coaches are getting pulled away to Auburn and wherever because you've got to keep getting a new coach every year when you've got it all figured out, but you can't keep your guys because of money. It's just there's no question that LSU, Florida, and Auburn are better opportunities to win it all than at Ole Miss. And so you can't blame the guy. It's what Jayboy said yesterday. You can't blame the guy for thinking, hey, that's a better school, I can have a better chance to win. I don't think if you're at Auburn and you're a coach like that, or you're at Alabama, or you're at Florida or LSU, that you're going to leave to go to another school. I just don't believe it. I think those are final destinations.
No, we had a caller ask about that, you know, about leaving schools to go to take jobs at other schools. And it doesn't happen very often. I mean, it has happened a couple of times at Alabama. Fran left to go at A&M, but I mean, there's got to be something going on. But I don't know, Pat. My take, I think Lane loves this kind of thing. I think this is just Lane being Lane.
Well, I think Lane wanted to come to Auburn. I think there's no question he wanted to. We didn't give him the extra Berks he wanted. I think heard a couple of extra years, whatever. I think he wanted to come before. There's no way he would have said, you know, my daughter talked me out of going to Auburn. I don't think he would have said that if you were staying at Ole Miss. There's no reason to make that comment. So I think he was wanting out then. It's just there wasn't a job that he wanted opened, and then we gave it to Freeze, and I think that's exactly what happened. So, but to me, here's my fear is that we hire John Summerall, which is, you know, whatever's in the cards, do whatever you're going to do, and then Lane goes to Florida or LSU, and he comes here next year in Auburn at our stadium, which is who we play next year, both of those two teams. And I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, if we lose and we're at the Iron Bowl after the Iron Bowl and we're talking and we're 6-6 and Lane's 10-2 at LSU or Florida going to the playoffs. I mean, are we going to really sit here and go we made the right decision? I mean, that's what I just think is going to be a high probability of a problem. And I agree, he needs more than 1 year to make it work. But I think a lot of people are going to transfer. I just do. I hope that he can talk him into staying, but I just don't know that if I'm Cam Coleman and he's bringing in, you know, some offensive coordinator, I just think I'm going to Lane Kiffin, or I'm going to Ohio State, or I'm going to Georgia. I'm going somewhere where I know I'm going to be big time. I mean, you're counting. You've already trusted Auburn for 2 years, and we didn't really come through for you. I mean, maybe he'll do it, but I just think it's going to be a lot harder to keep our players if we don't have a big name coach. That's my only fear. And if it's Summerall, I'm not gonna say another word. But come this time next year, if we're 6-6, it can't be. We just need more time. We need more time. I mean, that's just not gonna fly. I mean, it's gonna be turmoil next year if he doesn't win. That's my fear. Is this time next year, it could very well be just a horrible scenario, and that's not fair to any coach. You know, you bring a guy in, he might be a great coach down the road, but is he going to be able to do this year with that schedule coming up? And now Lane's going to be coming here. You know, I mean, I don't know that I'm counting that game to win that game. You know, so that's what my fear is. You know, more than anything, but you know, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt whoever they hire. But I see it. He's got a big upward.
There's a lot of pressure. No question.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, guys.
Cool, Pat. We'll just have to agree to disagree. I feel like, and a couple of folks that I've talked to that usually know what they're talking about said Lane Kiffin has no interest at Auburn. Lane Kiffin has tremendous interest in sticking it to Auburn, and I think Lane Kiffin has some interest in sticking it to LSU and sticking it to Florida. Yeah. I think that is Lane being Lane. I mean, I think he says some things knowing the reaction it's going to get from his people and from the other people, and he loves it. I could be completely wrong. I just have a couple of people that feel strongly that's the case, and I know Pat feels strongly the other way. So, We'll see. I don't think Auburn is in the Lane. It's not the merry-go-round. It's like a tilt-a-whirl. It's like something like that from one of the fall rides. And we need to get to our first break of the hour. Daniel, hang on. You'll be up first. When we come back, you can get in line behind him, 334-321-1390, with the Drive Hotline here on the Wednesday Drive.
War Eagle, this is Coach Lake.
1067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and right back to the Drive Hotline. And Daniel is up next. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, guys, I hope y'all are doing well today. I had a question come up with a few buddies of mine, and we didn't know how to answer it, so I thought I'd bring it to the table tonight. Vandy and Tennessee play this day. It's going to be a pretty game, or not this Saturday, but next
Saturday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, during rivalry week. And probably one of the most anticipated matchups in that rivalry in I don't know how long.
But, decades, maybe.
So Tennessee is ranked 20th, and I'm just kind of, we were kind of talking about Vandy's playoff scenarios and their playoff hopes. If Vandy were to beat Tennessee, Tennessee would probably slide out of the top 25, the week 15 top 25.
Are they 20?
They're 20.
They might. They may still hang in there because you're losing to another ranked team. Doesn't hurt right. you as bad.
If they were to drop out, does that count as a ranked win?
No.
On Vanderbilt's resume?
No, it doesn't. It's where teams are, not when you played them. It's where they are when you're considering the team's rankings. So
okay.
so that would hurt. It would hurt Vandy if they fell out of the top 25.
Right. I'm with you. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, but, I mean, that makes sense. Even though some teams, because of injuries, Don, or things like that, things can go south. So
yeah.
it's a shame that but you get some you have some false rankings, like early season rankings. I mean, let's go back and look at the preseason
yeah,
rankings right
yeah.
now.
Texas
1, Penn State 2.
Yeah.
was Clemson like 4? I mean,
yeah.
you know, you had
yeah.
You had
LSU was up there.
You're right. So a win over a team then looks great, but then when you look and if that team's 500 or not even 500 later on, you shouldn't get credit for a top 10 win.
Yeah, I agree. It's like I'm like you. I don't even know why they rank them early anymore.
For fans,
that's sell newspapers.
I mean, everybody wants to,
magazines.
You know, either brag or complain.
Right, right. You're right.
You know,
I guess they have to have.
They're screwing us, yeah. or look how good we are.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
it's one of those things. So I mean, it just wouldn't. It probably would. It wouldn't feel as much fun if you didn't have numbers beside some teams.
Yeah,
there early on. But yes, preseason rankings this year may be as bad.
Yeah.
as I can remember
yeah.
it. I mean the. I want to pull up. As a matter of fact, that's something I can do here during the break. Let's pull up the preseason college football rankings and see how bad they actually were. Yeah, we can do that. We'd love for you to join in though. What do you think? We were talking with Jason in hour number one about the quarterback situation with Ashton Daniels. Getting the opportunity, well, actually sitting out so he'll have an opportunity to get an extra year of eligibility. And seeing Deuce Knight running with the ones out there and apparently having one of his better practices. I didn't get a chance to get out there Tuesday morning. That was yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday morning and watch. But everyone who did said it's as good as they've seen Deuce Knight look. And part of that has to be knowing, hey, he's getting his shot now.
Yeah, he's locked in now.
He's not just battling
right.
to just try to get playing time. Yeah. This is his shot at real playing time
right.
Against Mercer this week. So I think there's a good bit of excitement. A lot of his teammates have said, man, they're really excited to see Deuce out there.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting for him. And I think, like you said, Bill, everybody, you know, all you've heard over the last year and a half is – what a great athlete he is, you know, what a talent, and he's going to have an opportunity to show it against a pretty decent team. This is not another one of these little schools that's coming to town. We should handle them fairly easy, but they present some problems, and they're probably one of the better, I still call them 1AA schools.
Well, I mean, you look offensively, and they average nearly 520 yards a game in total offense, and 340 of it's passing.
Yeah. So that'll be a test. And like you said yesterday, a good test for us down the road for the Iron Bowl, that we're going to see a throwing quarterback.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as we were talking a little bit about it, a freshman. He is a freshman who has thrown for over 3,000 yards.
That's unbelievable. And also, as we talked, you never know, he may be coming here to to up his ante.
Well, it's a showcase. It's a showcase for any of these players.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
You know, when they go in these big payday games,
right?
The which are
against the great defense,
which are big for you know, for the smaller schools, for their budgets. But it's an opportunity for their players to show on a bigger stage what they can do, and you'll see quite a few players that have big ball games. Even if they don't wind up at that school, there'll be people there scouting. You know, there could be people scouting Auburn, or you know, some that happen to notice those players get an opportunity to see them. And these days with the transfer portal and NIL.
Yeah,
I think there's a good bit of incentive. Like Jason said, going to be interesting to see how they handle it, because they've got their postseason coming up, and they sure don't want to. Hate to come in and have their star freshman quarterback or their star sack guy who has 18 and a half tackles for loss this year, you know, get injured and not be able to play for them as they try to win a championship at their level.
Yeah, no doubt. It'll be interesting what they do. If they fall behind early, do they pull him? If they're in the game, you know, it'll be an interesting. But it should be exciting for everyone.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Sky Bar. And let's get back to it. And is it Sosa up next?
Did I write Sosa?
I was going, gee, that's the first time we've had Sosa. That's
Sammy
that,
Sosa.
That is Drew with
baseball.
The Cubs on his mind. When you said Sammy, he wrote Sosa. So Sammy, how you doing, man? That's great. We'll never let Drew hear the end of this. Because I'm looking at his board and he's got Sosa as the next caller. It's like, well, that's a first.
Is that a curse word in a foreign language?
No, you remember Sammy Sosa. I mean, Drew's a great big time Cubs fan. And just I guess that was just a reaction in his mind without thinking. You say Sammy, he says Sosa.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. I can tell you, the Ole Miss fans here in Oxford are about to come unglued.
I guess.
They're starting to. They're starting to get to a tipping point where they're starting to get mad that he's dragging this thing out, and the reports of his kids going down to Gainesville and Baton Rouge and checking out. I told one of my buddies, I said, I would just wait until Knox graduates high school, because the way that Florida goes through coaches, they'll be probably looking for another coach in 3 years.
That's not crazy. You're right.
They could just wait for Knox to graduate and head wherever he's going. But I really thought he was not going to leave. But the more this thing drags out, the more I think he's going to go. I think he ends up at Florida.
When would he leave, though, Sammy? I mean, if I can't imagine Florida saying, "Okay, it's okay, coach, as long as your team's alive." Because they would want him. Like we were talking in the first hour, right now there's a possible scenario that John Sumrall has his Tulane team in the playoffs. And Jason said, look, if he's going to Auburn or wherever, they're going to want him right now. They're going to want him. And it's a little different, I would think, with a group of five school. But I can't imagine Lane thinking he could coach Ole Miss through the playoffs. But to just abandon a team when you're in, I mean, they're in the playoffs, regardless of what happens in the Egg Bowl.
Yes. Yes. Well, they're starting to they're creeping toward being a distraction for the Egg Bowl. And that's what scared a lot of people here, is that as long as this thing drags out, your distraction from concentrating and preparing for the Egg Bowl, going to Starkville with all those cowbells, that the players are starting to think, what's going to happen to our coach? Then you got other coaches from other schools calling these kids, say, hey, listen, we have a spot for you if he leaves. And it's getting, the people here get really nervous about possibly losing that game, because they want to win it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Even though they'd be in the playoffs, you don't want to lose the Egg Bowl. To wrap up the regular season. No, I'm, it's funny. we were talking with caller Pat a little while ago. He feels like, well, the players shouldn't be concerned because they're all just going to follow Lane no matter where he goes.
Well, I mean, you can't blame him. I mean, the way he's recruited, and you don't know who's coming in here. What if you're, you know, what if Lane goes to LSU? Who does Florida try to get as their second string coach, their second choice? I mean, what quality coach is going to want to go to Florida as the second guy?
I've got a feeling that Eli Drinkwitz's name would probably be pretty high on the list there at Florida.
You know, this reminds me of the Georgia hire when you had Irk Russell turn him down when Vince retired. You had Irk Russell turn him down. You had Dick Sheridan at NC State turn him down, and they settled with Ray Goff from the staff. And mm-hmm. This reminds me that it could fall in sort of that area of where they're not getting their top choice.
That would be tough. It's hard to see Florida doing that after going. Billy Napier this past time. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like they've got to have a splashier hire. I don't know how splashy Eli'd be to the Gator fans.
That's right. Hey, Coach, don't be burning that oyster stew at Christmas time, all
hey,
right?
Hey, don't worry about it, old neighbor. I got you. I miss you.
Yeah, miss y'all too. Hey, great show, guys. Have
great hearing
night.
From you, Sammy.
Thanks.
All right.
334-321-1390. I thought I had an all timer in names that I called callers, but that's great.
Sammy Sosa, that's a classic.
Sosa,
that is a classic.
Sammy's got a new name now.
The history of the show.
Yep. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Plenty of time for you to join in here on the Wednesday Drive.
I'm at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 20 minutes here on this Wednesday evening. Bill and Coach Don Dunn. I haven't mentioned to you today again about the great folks at Game Day Men's Health here in Auburn off Moores Mill Road. Guys, they can take care of concerns you have from energy, the vitality, drive, vitamin supplements. I mean, they can take care of just about everything. Great folks there. Go in. You probably have a consultation with Aaron. Get some medical background. They'll do blood work for you and see what you need to get you, feeling the way you want to feel. Get that energy back. Game Day Men's Health here in Auburn off Moores Mill Road. You can call them. Let's see. Yeah, they're open for about another 20 minutes today. Open until 6 o'clock every day. 334-209-3706. Our number is 334-321-1390. That's the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. Kind of changed the subject. Wanted to talk a little food and Thanksgiving with Coach.
Oh, yeah. That's great because won't have nearly the opportunity next week. We're going to be missing some days next week.
Right. I said, yeah, Monday, like you said, like Monday and Friday. But anyway, Coach, what is like your Thanksgiving, I guess, meal? And do you do most of the cooking? Does your wife do some?
My wife is excellent with Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's about the only two times that she does the whole deal. I may deep fry a turkey once in a while. Not this year. I may smoke a turkey breast, but she does everything else. Very, very good. Old school, Dressing
or stuffing?
Dressing.
Absolutely.
Cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes, gravy, the whole nine yards. And that's what we do every year.
Okay, how about you, Bill?
Well, I don't do the cooking, no. I mean, I'll do some carving. That's about it. And I try to convince Kathy. It's like, let's let Don smoke the turkey and slice it for us. So I don't even have to do that. But no, I mean, definitely dressing. Some of our best friends make as good a sweet potato casserole.
Oh yeah, my wife does too.
Green bean
casserole.
Got to have that, and of course cranberry sauce.
Yes,
I mean, potatoes. Pretty much the staples. We have generally pumpkin and pecan pies.
Right, right.
You know, I'm trying to think of what else. Well, obviously my wife's corn casserole too.
Ooh,
yeah. So we've got plenty. There's always enough for everybody to take some home and us to have plenty left.
Right. Well, and you mentioned corn casserole. My wife's mother made corn casserole, and she made it, you know, from the box and you know, just the regular kind of thing. And I found a recipe because I'm a big watcher of America's Best Kitchen and Cook Country on PBS.
Oh yeah,
and I found
for sure
a corn casserole.
That's either the biggest fly in the world. There's a plane buzzing pretty close to us. Can you hear that in the background?
No, I did not. Okay. What?
I said, sounds like a plane is buzzing the building. Or one of the biggest insects in the world is around here. Sorry about that. Sorry to interrupt you.
But corn casserole, my wife loved it. And I found a great recipe, like I said, through America's Test Kitchen that's not like out of a box. And I do the same thing, turkey dressing, mashed potatoes, gravy, green bean casserole.
Yep.
I found a great recipe from America's Test Kitchen for green bean casserole.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, you know, the canned green beans and all that and everything. Mm-hmm. And obviously pecan pies. I like to do English peas.
Yeah.
Because I like to put English peas in my mashed potatoes.
There you go.
what we used to call a bird's nest, I believe. Uh-huh.
Me hungry.
I am hungry.
Obviously, now I like the cranberry sauce as a can myself. I like the gelatin cranberry sauce.
Yeah, I do
sauce.
Too. I do too. Folks, you know, chastise me for that, but I do too.
Yeah.
Now my grandmother used to make fruit salad with the little marshmallows
in
it.
Yep.
That I make sometimes, but I'm like the only one that
sweet potato casserole.
My wife will make a cranberry and cream cheese and pecan dip that is just out of this world.
Oh yeah, I've had that before somewhere. Oh yeah, nothing against your wife, but it was an elderly lady that made it. She's probably been making it for 50 years.
Yep.
So it was.
Those are the best. Usually, absolutely.
Sure.
If you can get those recipes.
All right, and well, I'm going to try something different this year with my turkey. Now I've spatchcocked a turkey before on the smoker.
Right.
Obviously, I've done it in the oven, but I saw some things on the internet, and I think I'm going to break it down into leg quarters, wings, and take the breast off the bone. Obviously, use the breast and the back because I'm going to cut the back out.
Right.
Use that and make stock for the gravy.
Oh yeah.
And then smoke it that way because from everything I've seen, it's a lot quicker.
Oh yeah.
Than trying to do it in the oven low and slow, and obviously I'm going to brine it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know. Turkey needs some moisture, and I grew up having very dry turkey. You know, nothing against my grandfather, but normally he was a turkey hunter, and we had wild turkeys, and they were very, very lean, and they would come out very dry. So definitely going to brine it.
For sure.
Yeah, just wanted to, and rolls, got to have rolls.
Oh, yeah.
Just soak up everything.
For sure.
So, anyway.
Sounds great.
All right, guys. Just wanted to throw that out there, you know, since it's getting that time of year. And
oh, yeah. No kidding, man.
Favorite meal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love it. Yeah, I mean, I'm taking Wednesday off from work just
to get ready.
Get started because I do all the cooking. My wife can cook some things, but I do all the cooking. So, anyway. But worry, guys.
All right, Mitch.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
334-321-1390. We'll go ahead and get to our final break of the afternoon. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Hey, this is DeMarcus Riddick.
On ESPN 106.7.
Online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday. Bill and Coach Don Dunn. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell for joining us in hour number one. If you missed any of Jason or you missed any of the drives, talking, you know, not just anything today, you can check them out online. Check the podcasts. Download the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and they're sponsored by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. I haven't been able to find the entire preseason rankings, but here is the AP preseason top 10. Number one, Texas. Number two, Penn State.
Wow.
Number three is Ohio State, and they've taken advantage to move up to that top spot. Number four was Clemson.
Wow.
Number five is Georgia. Georgia is back up number four. Notre Dame was six. They're now nine. Oregon, seven. They're still there. Alabama, eight, and they're now 10 in the college rankings, in the playoff rankings. LSU was nine. So – four of the top nine
are nowhere to be found.
Are nowhere to be found. Yeah, I mean, Texas,
coaching
is, Texas is the only one that's ranked.
Right, still. And the other three have coaching, right? No.
Well, Clemson doesn't.
No.
Clemson doesn't, although there's some
rumbling
folks wondering, is Dabo's tenure
coming to a close?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's really been a struggle for them. This year, I thought a couple of times they were going to turn things around.
Yeah,
but no, that has not been the case.
Right.
Have you? I haven't seen a whole lot on Penn State's opening.
Haven't heard a word, hardly.
I mean,
I have no idea.
I mentioned Eli Drinkwitz a little earlier as a possibility to Florida to Mitch. No, yeah. Not to Mitch. To Sammy.
Right.
I've seen Eli's name with Penn State. I don't know how likely that would be.
Yeah, I don't have a clue. I haven't heard a word about Penn State, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I mean it's funny. I mean they weren't they the first?
Virginia Tech was the very first
of the biggies.
Yeah, and then
they were there.
They
did it before Florida, yeah. LSU, or Auburn did.
Right, sure did. That's right. So they've been open the longest.
You remember the first name you heard was Matt Rhule.
Yeah.
And then he re-upped and immediately, got waxed.
Right.
Pretty good.
Right.
But yeah, these jobs, these openings somebody's going to be left out. I've got a feeling in the musical chairs. I mean, there are only so many, even though this appears to be a pretty good pool for coaches. It's going to be a school that either has somebody that loses them unexpectedly or one of the schools that is looking right now that whiffs on a few guys. Now, that doesn't mean that coach won't be successful. I don't know how many times we've seen, coaches that obviously weren't the number one, two, or three choice that come in and do a great job. So you won't know until, we get into this thing a year or two.
Yeah, it's like we say every night. It's a crazy deal, crazy, crazy.
Well, there are no guarantees.
Right.
I mean, we've had so many surefire can't miss
right
coaches that have missed.
Right, and there's you don't have a lot of time anymore. There's no such thing as a coach going there for 5 years. If he doesn't win in the first or second year, get you in the playoffs, he's probably not going to be around.
Well, I mean, just
fair or not.
When you think about it, the home run hires, the splash hires, the things like that. How sure was everyone that Tom Herman was? I mean, he was a great hire at Texas. Everybody
right.
in the country. Yeah. Well, that's it.
Yeah.
Texas is going to win multiple national championships under Tom Herman.
Didn't last.
He's now at Florida Atlantic.
Yeah.
And doing a pretty good job there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. Sure.
Scott Frost.
Right.
Going back to his alma mater.
Nebraska.
At Nebraska. Yeah.
The golden child's coming home. Yeah.
So I mean, you don't know, and people that are concerned, I mean, generally once a school gets burned on a certain type of coach, then they'll go in another direction.
Right.
And you wonder, I mean, Auburn's had offensive coaches the last few times. Wonder if they'll go in the defensive direction. You know, Florida, where the we talked about it earlier, where John Sumrall, word getting out today, John Sumrall is withdrawing from consideration for the Florida job. I don't know that he was at the top of their list.
Right.
And, yes, that could be a reason that he's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But it would also be, I wonder how Florida fans, how would the Gator Nation react to hiring another Group of Five coach after Billy Napier? Because Billy Napier was considered
the guy.
That was it.
Yeah.
I mean, and that is why I do think there are some Auburn fans that are concerned going, well, it didn't work for Billy Napier at Florida. Why would John Sumrall work in the SEC?
Yeah, crazy. Hey, Bill, I got a text from one of our buddies that said that today is the 20th anniversary of the 11 sacks versus Bama.
Is that sack? Yeah. Honk if you sack Brody?
Yeah, and he said, I think you and Coach Price were in on one of them.
it felt like a lot of us were in on one of
those. Oh, boy, what
a
night that was. What a fun day.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Wow.
20 years.
That game was that early?
Yeah, I guess so.
November 18th?
19th.
Wow.
Yeah.
19th, my bad. Yeah,
but I guess we played it before Thanksgiving that year. Yeah,
I don't recall many Iron Bowls being played before Thanksgiving.
No. But what a great game!
Oh yeah, yeah.
A lot of fun.
it'll be interesting. We'll get into
for
it
for sure.
Again, we're going to have sort of an abbreviated week next week, so I don't want to start talking Alabama though before we play Mercer.
We can't do that.
No. Just about out of time here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Again, our thanks to Jason Caldwell for joining us for the entire first hour. And let's see, tomorrow, Justin Ferguson should be in tomorrow. I will see if I can catch up with Ferg tonight at basketball. Again,
late kit tip.
An 8 o'clock tip. That means 7:30 airtime over on Wings 94.3. And yeah, Jason mentioned it, and we definitely need to talk more about that and preview the next big thing coming up on Wings 94.3, and that's Auburn Opelika Friday night.
Wow, man, what a contest.
What a
exciting for the whole city
clash that is going to be.
For sure. It'll be a great one.
All right. Fun time here on the Wednesday Drive. We're out of time. Back with you tomorrow. So hopefully you'll join us then. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.